is Genoa.
And this is Yusuf.
And this is In Flight Entertainment.
The quarantine throwback episode. Hello. Yeah. How's everyone? We made it to Thursday. Well, I guess that's
yeah, and we're still not traveling, so we're still doing movies to keep you entertained while you're home with the family.
Yes, and to keep the video game movie adaptation week a rolling, we're going back to 1995 with this martial arts video game turned film. Movie.
Yeah, so I think I neglected to go research this video game, but I feel like it was pretty popular in the 90s based on all the people I know that played it. In college, we would go out drinking and then go back to people's apartments and just sit around playing this video game until the wee hours of the morning.
Right.
Because we were kids and had nothing else to do. We are going into the world of Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
And in this adaptation of the video game, we are following three unknowing martial artists who are summoned to a mysterious island to compete in a tournament whose outcome will decide the fate of the world. So basically, imagine Kuma
Bloodsport. Yes.
Yeah, it's basically Bloodsport, but in an alternate world.
I'm glad you brought up Bloodsport.
What was the name of the thing in Bloodsport?
The Kumite. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Look
at that. My brain cells are working.
Yay! and I'm glad you brought up Kumite because the developers of Mortal Kombat, the inspiration for Mortal Kombat was from Van Damme movie Bloodsport.
Wow. I mean, that's sort of obvious.
Yeah, because they wanted a more graphic, grittier version of Bloodsport. And you have Mortal Kombat. So this movie.
Yeah, so. What was happening music wise when this movie came out? This movie came out August 18th, 1995.
Okay, August 1995, which. See, I was still working at the movie theaters on the north side of Chicago around that time. And actually, this film played in the theater I was working in. How do you look at me? You know. So this film was released in 95. I was working in a movie theater in 1995, and we had this movie in our theaters in 1995. So you can imagine how amped we were when we found out Mortal Kombat was going to be in the theaters, and it was in the big screen too. So yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Of course it was. But what was the number one song in August?
It was TLC smash hit, Waterfalls.
The fun fact about the music in this movie is that the producers tried to partner with a lot of different major record labels and everyone turned them down. So they ended up partnering with a smaller record label. So all the music in this movie is EDM or electronic dance music. And it was the first number one or platinum EDM record ever. And it really sort of set the stage for all future EDM records. So Mortal Kombat will always be in music history.
Yeah, God bless them. Because I swear, when the first time we see that movie, when we were in the movie theater, and you hear, you know, that music, it felt like you were in a club because that bass was beating in that movie theater. Yeah. It had that techno, you know. It was good. It's a pretty good album if you like that kind of music. Yeah. I loved it. It was cool. So 90.
I was imagining seeing this in the movie theater with that bass and just like the full on surround sound was absolutely amazing. I can totally picture that.
Yeah, it literally felt like you were in a club when that bass was being, because, you know, back in the day you had the THX, you know, theater sound, the digital THX. So when you heard that, I mean, you couldn't help but to kind of dance around while you were seeing people getting their butt kicked on screen. And it was a perfect marriage of this carnage of martial arts and that thumping, you know, throbbing beat of the house. That was pretty dope. So it was a good marriage of sight and sound with this film, I will say. Now, the five TV shows was definitely a usual suspect. Monday Night Football, number five. Again, Caroline in the City. I still need to look this to show up. Friends, number three. Seinfeld, number two. And Clooney was holding it down at the hospital with ER, number one. So Waterfall is what we had in our CD Walkman in 95. And ER was what everyone was watching in 95.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this movie came out after the 90s were sort of the beginning of American movie studios releasing video game movies. And this was the fourth video game movie that came out in the 90s. The three that were preceded this were Super Mario Brothers, Double Dragon, and Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. So Double Dragon and Street Fighter were also sort of combat fighting games, similar to Mortal Kombat.
Right. Yeah, so Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat were more aligned with each other because it was basically just a, you know, me versus me fight you type situation. Whereas Double Dragon, oh my goodness, Double Dragon was a crazy game. It's co-op, so it's me and you beating up thugs. Street Fighter, I did okay. I mean, it wasn't really a critical hit. This is the movie with Van Damme and the late Raul Julia. That was his, I think his last film role before he passed away, Street Fighter. So it was kind of low hanging fruit or a low bar for Mortal Kombat to kind of like overcome. And the Mario Brothers movie was just like,
so bad.
Yeah, wasn't good. And so, you know, when Mortal Kombat came out, I mean, it was definitely a breath of fresh air far as the adaptation, video game movie adaptation, because, a lot of those other three were close, but missed the mark. But Mortal Kombat, the movie just, you know, just hit the nail right on the head. For it to be a PG-13 version, because if you play the video game, it's very bloody, very graphic, very gory. And the movie, it managed to give you the feel of a Mortal Kombat game minus the gore and, you know, the violence. So.
Right. Yeah, for all of our younger listeners, keep in mind that like gory video games in the 90s, it was still pretty pixelated. So it wasn't like you were really seeing a whole lot of blood. It was more fun blood.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. As one half.
This was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. Do we know anything about him?
Yes. Now, it seems like he made his career off of doing video game adaptations, because after, you know, Mortal Kombat, so the next big movie he did based off of adaptation was Resident Evil, which kicked that franchise off with Mila Jovovich, whatever.
Yeah, that's a fun movie.
And your personal favorite, he did Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah, we're going to review that one day because that's just a ridiculously weird, fun movie.
Exactly.
It's a very underrated movie. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Agreed, 100%. Then he went on to direct a couple of Resident Evil sequels, and then he did the final chapter of Resident Evil in 2016. And I believe he completed filming. It's another video game adaptation called Monster Hunter, which is, I believe, is slated for 2021. So he pretty much found his niche, just doing video game adaptation in the movies. Good for him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to find something that works for you.
Exactly. You know, all of them don't work, but at least he know how to, you know, bring them over to movie form.
Right. And this movie is starring, it has an interesting cast. It is starring Christopher Lambert.
Yes.
Robin Shao, Lyndon Ashby, Bridget Wilson Sampras, Carrie Hiroyuki Tagawa, mm-hmm. and Talisa Soto.
Yes. So pretty much visually they all fit the characters of the video game that you would play.
So okay, all right. Let's just tell everyone basically what happens in the movie.
Okay, all right.
Three fighters are recruited to go to the secret island, and they have a fight to the death. And there's like the bad guys and the good guys.
Right.
And on the good guy side, Lord Raiden is sort of leading them, and he is a like an old master that's played by a white dude.
but he's a Highlander, so you know we forgive him for that. He's immortal, right? of lightning. So okay, Lord Raiden. So he's a protector of the light realm. Spoilers. And I forget every 1,000 years or something like that. Like all the different realms compete in Mortal Kombat. So Mortal Kombat is like Enter the Dragon, right? So it's the same kind of scenario. You have all these different, you know, martial artists going to this island, right? You know, for this tournament. But the thing is, this is a tournament for Earth, right? All right. So the fighters represent Earth have to defend Earth in Mortal Kombat so they can save the Earth. So if Earth loses, then Shang Tsung, who is leader, who's head of Mortal Kombat, takes over the Earth, like kind of world domination type situation. So that's where the Mortal Kombat comes in. And that's why we got Johnny Cage, who was the like this movie star. We have Sonya Blade, who is this ex-military. Well, she is military. She's Special Forces. And then we have Liu Kang, the main character, whose brother came up missing because he went to try to fight the leader of the tournament, who is Shang Tsung. And so it's pretty much a revenge tale for him. And Johnny Cage is more like a vanity thing. He think, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome kind of role for me, you know, kind of sharpen up my fighting skills. I go to this tournament. He think it's all sweet. And Sonya is trying to catch Kano. And Kano is this kind of crazy metal half face, like a mercenary that killed her partner or whatever. So pretty much that propels these three, you know, there. Now, when they on their way to Mortal Kombat, we have Christopher Lambert, the Raiden character, the lightning god, which, by the way, the creator of Mortal Kombat says that, of course, Raiden was inspired by Big Trouble Little China, the lightning guy. Of course. I mean, it's just so blatant. They said, yeah, more like that's the Big Trouble Little China lightning dude. That's why we had him, because we love Big Trouble Little China. So anyway.
Well, and it's, so when Christopher Lambert was hired for the film, they filmed all of his scenes here in Los Angeles because that's all the producers, the movie people could actually afford. But he actually paid his way to go on location and film it. I think it was in Thailand because he didn't feel that a stand-in could play his backside correctly. And for continuity in the movie, it was important that he go and be on set. So he paid for that all out of his own pocket. He also paid for the rap party.
So he was
having so much fun on this movie.
That's awesome. And also considering that he didn't have to do martial arts in the movie. So he was like, whatever, I could just sit around, just give exposition and disappear while you guys do all the stunt work. Okay, I'm in.
Right.
While everyone is all bruised and shit, he's just coming out the party like, hey guys, oh, that was also shoot, right? So yeah, God bless him.
Yeah, and a lot of the actors actually did their own fighting within the movie. So Bridget Wilson Sampras, who plays Sonya Blade, actually dislocated her shoulder in one of the fight scenes. And then I think Lyndon Ashby, who plays Johnny Cage, the movie star, he was actually kicked in the kidney.
Oof.
I believe he passed out because the pain was so bad.
Yikes.
So, but those were two of some of the big ones. But like we discussed in the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, in that movie there was real fighting. In this movie, the actors were doing all their own fighting as well.
Yeah, and that's good for like the sequence is, you know, like you see them kind of, you know, whipping their arms around for a punch or giving a kick. It sells it a lot better. Even though it was simple fights. It wasn't like the Raid type, you know, crazy choreographed like extravaganzas. They were like kind of simple, like punch, kick, fall, get up, counter punch, kick, 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 kick. I mean, but, you know, it was executed, you know, well, you know, for what it was. Yeah.
Right. The past couple of days I've been watching Alias, the early 2000 TV show with Jennifer Garner. And all the fighting in there is definitely done by stunt doubles. And there's some scenes where you can tell that it's like a bad wig on the person fighting for Jennifer Garner's character.
Yeah.
You don't see that in this movie because everyone is doing their own fighting, even if it isn't as intense or tightly choreographed because it's actors doing it.
You know, and I would rather have something like this than, like you're saying, like you see the bad wig or you see like a slightly different like body type from like a long shot and then kind of like, wait a minute, he's a lot slimmer than like the so yeah, whatever, it's all good. But so we got it. So now we're in a fight. Now Shang Tsung have some minions. Sub-Zero, spoiler alert, he shoots out ice and he can freeze you. And Scorpion, he's kind of like the fan favorite. I think he comes from hell or whatever. And he have kind of like a spike chain that follows you around if he shoots it from his palm. And he always, in the game, when he shoot it out, he said, get over here. And so you heard that. I mean, it's just a lot of nods to the video game with the movie. And you could tell, actually, the makers of the game wrote the screenplay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So, you know, it's our. So, I mean, that's pretty much your plot. I mean, it's just like our little band of heroes. You know, we have the three and plus we have the Obi-Wan Kenobi type knowledge person and Raiden trying to like kind of give them clues and guiding them through the fights and the battles so they could get to like Shang Tsung, which is the ultimate showdown with Liu Kang and Shang Tsung. Because Liu Kang finds out that Shang Tsung has everyone's souls, like, trapped. you know,
in his body. Yeah.
Yes.
And in order to release those souls, including his brother, he needs to defeat Shang Tsung to release all the souls. And so, spoiler alert, the hero wins.
Yes. So, I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, it is pretty much like the video game. I mean, they made a story to wrap around the fights. Because pretty much, I mean, they could have just dropped their one in and just fought and we would have been happy. But of course, it's a movie. You got to have a plot. You got to have, you know, the ultimate baddie versus the ultimate goodie, which is who was Shang Tsung and Liu Kang.
So we mentioned Jean-Claude Van Damme a couple times. He was actually asked to play the role of Johnny Cage and he turned it down.
And he went, wait a minute. Okay. This was after Street Fighter, right? Because he was a Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was burnt from Street Fighter. I don't think he wanted to do another.
Okay, so Street Fighter only made $2 million at the box office.
No. Really? Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
And Mortal Kombat definitely made money.
Double Dragon made $2 million.
Oh, yeah.
Street Fighter made $99 million.
Okay, so that's not bad. That's pretty modest. Yeah. And so, but Mortal Kombat, off a $20 million budget, made $122 million.
Right.
So it
was the return on investment was pretty good. So they made a second one. Oh, so at the very end of Mortal Kombat, it sets it up for the second movie.
Which I will pay people. I would give you money not to watch the second one.
So Rotten Tomatoes would agree with you.
Yes.
On the like Wikipedia page of video games that have been made into movies, there's only one movie that is ranked lower than Mortal Kombat Annihilation. What? Mortal Kombat Annihilation has 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Was it Silent Hill?
Alone in the Dark is number one. Has one Rotten Tomato.
I even know they did a movie based off Alone in the Dark. Oh my god! Wow. Yeah. No. Annihilation is okay. I would say if you watch Annihilation, you know, drink, like have a couple of drinks, and just like smoke a J. I mean, and just sit back and watch the hilarity of this movie. Because, okay, you see how the first one closed out, right? You know, they all in fighting stance and then, you know, smash cut to like the logo of Mortal Kombat, roll credits, you know, cue to Mortal Kombat, you know, house music. The second one opens up. They recast Christopher Lambert. It's another guy.
Now I need to go search this.
Sonya is they cast another person as Sonya. So, like, I think three people wasn't even in the movie. They like recast them, and it was just so weird. Like the movie opens up, and it's not Christopher Lambert. It's like another like white dude in like the Raiden man. We're like, what? Like, what's happening now? Liu Kang, the same Liu Kang is there.
And Kitana is still the same person,
right? Yeah, those two are still around. Everyone else is recast.
Yeah, so the new James Remar plays Raiden.
All right.
And Sandra Hess plays Sonya Blade.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. It was really bad.
I think I've actually seen Mortal Kombat Annihilation more times than I've seen the original Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that is because USA, I feel like used to play Annihilation a lot in the middle of the night. So when I had insomnia, that was one of, like, before there was the Fast and Furious, they would play things like Annihilation. Ooh. And so that's why I've probably seen that more. This was the first time I had actually seen the first Mortal Kombat.
Wow. I guess they really want you guys to go to sleep. They played Annihilation that night.
It worked very well. Thank you. It would be like Law and Order, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Law and Order.
So that was like you. So that was like the what was it? What's Ambient? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Ambient. Yeah, that was my
Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat Ambient. Yeah, so we need not talk about the sequel. Like, I don't want to taint this movie's like review and try to skew like the second one over to this one. I don't want to do that. I just want to stick with the watchable one. when it goes off, you like, yeah, it was entertaining. Yeah, it was all right. The music was good. I dug it. So with, like, I was telling you about the whole Mortal Kombat, the game. So, actually, I'll go back. So Johnny K's character was a John Claude Van Damme type, you know, person. So, like, he was an actor, he was a martial artist. So the developers of the game love Jean-Claude Van Damme so much that they built Johnny Cage in like the image of Van Damme.
Well, which was obvious.
Yeah, exactly. So the video game, you guys should, actually we'll upload like some gameplay of the first Mortal Kombat when we upload this, so you guys can see how the gameplay was. There were actual actors, they captured, you know, as far as their moves and their flips and their kicks. So it's like you're playing an actual person instead of like an animated character like a Street Fighter. So they actually had like martial artists come in and do, you know, just like kicks in the air and punches in the air and all that stuff, so they could capture and pixelate it in a video game. The only non-actor in Mortal Kombat video game that you like the playable character was this creature called Goro. Now Goro had like four arms. He was like, well, like 10 feet tall. And he had like a ponytail, which is weird. That's the only character that was not captured like a live person. You know, they captured and pixelated for a playable character in the Mortal Kombat games.
And they couldn't find anyone that was 7 feet tall with three arms?
Four? No. Four? I don't think so. I mean, if you see one, let me know. I'd love to take a picture with them.
No problem.
Yeah, if I like check the swamps or something, then he might be like down there somewhere, like eating alligators whole. So it's funny going back and watching this again. It just sparked the nostalgia bug again, you know, watching Mortal Kombat 95, doing it like at the movie theater. That was my first job, and I was, you know, after work we would play I believe at this point it was like the second Mortal Kombat that was at the arcades at this point, so we would be playing second Mortal Kombat or the third one anyway, and then the movie came out, and so, you know, you're like, oh, it's Mortal Kombat, yay. Now the year after this was 96. Actually, it was a pretty good summer. Okay, 95. So 95 was Bad Boys, Mortal Kombat, and the first Mission Impossible, and Batman Forever. That was 95. And then the next year was pretty much Independence Day. And that was the whole summer. The whole summer 96 was Independence Day. but I remember 95 so well in movies. I was like, and I think The Rock came out in 90. No, that didn't come out in 95. But yeah, so it was Bad Boys, Mortal Kombat, Mission Impossible. Yes,
I was busy with college stuff. I wasn't necessarily going to the movies this year. Man. That year.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you were getting your education, you know, that's right.
Right. Well, I think I was waiting tables at night, so I didn't necessarily get to a whole lot of movies. Yeah. But, you know, I've made up for it.
Yes, you have. Good. So, okay. So do you want to give the break?
We mentioned that Christopher Lambert was in Highlander. So Sean Connery was actually originally approached to play the role of Raiden, and he turned it down because he didn't want a physical role, which is hilarious because Raiden's character is not physical at all in the movie.
Exactly. No, he just for exposition dumps. You know, that's all. Right. He's just an exposition dump person.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, Sean Connery and Christopher Lambert were both in Highlander together.
Right. And Sean Connery was a Spaniard in Highlander.
Yeah, with a Scottish accent.
I'm sure the director is like, I don't care. Sean Connery in this movie, he can do whatever he wants. Right. But I'm glad, you know, Christopher Lambert. It was always good seeing Christopher Lambert, even in this few movies he was in. You know, I always thought he was okay. I never had a problem with Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, he does his part well.
Yeah, exactly. Where is he from? Is he? No. I always thought he was Russian, but he don't sound right. He's like Scandinavian or something.
Let's see what the internets have to say about that. he's from Long Island.
No. How do you not get that accent, Genoa?
So he was born in Long Island, but his father worked for the United Nations and was assigned to Switzerland. So
oh, there we go. Yeah.
He grew up going to a private boarding school in Geneva.
Gotcha.
So that's why he has that accent.
He's a Swede.
He's an American that went to a Swedish school. So yes, yeah.
But the accent stuck with him. He couldn't get away from it, and he still have it. Yes. And that's not a Long Island accent, Highlander. No. There could only be one.
Okay, so our rating system.
Yes.
Keep Your Ass on the Sofa. It's very good. Totally watch it with the family. It's PG-13. Putting Your Shoes On. Not sure if you should leave the house or stay with the family. And then Door Shut Behind You. Kill Me. I don't want to watch this. So how would you rate it?
You know, out of all of the video game movies that came before it, I mean, it actually watching it and just kind of keeping it in perspective of like, it was a movie of its time, 95. I told you it's 90s cheese at its best. On that principle, I give it a sit down. And the action and the fight sequences wasn't bad. It's not the worst fight you're ever going to see in a movie. So, yeah. And plus the music was also. Yeah. So I give it a sit butt down. It's only an hour and a half. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to close the door behind me. Close it. I'd rather go put my life in virus danger than watch this. Wow. But like I said, this is the first time I'd seen it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, so I'm looking at all of the movies that were made based on video games. And I have to say, I think Resident Evil might be the only one that I thoroughly have enjoyed.
The first one?
The first one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like a total deviation from the source, but it is an entertainment film, to say the least.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we did Pikachu. Detective Pikachu, which is based on a video game also. And we did Sonic the Hedgehog on Tuesday.
Right. So, yeah. But, so this is the wrap up. Because actually, I was going to say, like, well, you know, one big a mascot for one big video game company and versus another big, you know, which would be Mario Bros. But I was like, nah, I don't think I want to watch that again. I'm good on it.
Right. Well, according to Rotten Tomatoes, including Sonic the Hedgehog that came out in February of this year, Detective Pikachu has the highest Rotten Tomatoes score.
It's cute. It's Pokemon, you know.
Yeah. Resident Evil, the one I mentioned, only has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 34%.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was enjoyable. I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but it was enjoyable. I would rather watch Resident Evil over, like I said, Mario Brothers, Double Dragon. But honestly, far as action, I would rather watch Mortal Kombat over Resident Evil. Far as action. But hey, there is our throwback, you know, video game week of Mortal Kombat. So any last words for our people until next week?
I think we mentioned this last week, but please go back and listen to all of our February episodes, because with everything that's going on in the world, we cover a lot of that stuff and why the people of color feel the way that they do at this point in time in history, and that not a whole lot has changed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get educated, read books by Black authors. Don't, you know, read, you know, interpretations of Black voices through white people, and like, don't.
Yeah, do that. I mean, the one movie that I keep telling everyone to go watch, which I don't think we reviewed in February, is The Hate U Give.
Yeah, we did that.
Oh, that was February?
No, it wasn't February, but we did review. We did do a review on that.
Yeah. But we reviewed it in the fall, not in February.
Right. So
I feel like that one movie, just there's a couple scenes in it, and the overall movie really helps. It's a good movie to educate yourself if you're not willing to go read something.
Right. Yes. So pretty much actually go back and, you know, all like our reviews of, like you said, The Hate U Give. We did Do the Right Thing. You know, you can always go back to that, because honestly, we're going through the last like 10 minutes of Do the Right Thing. Like, I mean, in a nutshell, the last 10 minutes of Do the Right Thing is what's happening right now. Like I said.
Yeah, I just have to say, at the protest, I saw a couple people wearing shirts that said Boycott Sal's.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. Yeah, I need to find that shirt. That's pretty awesome. We gotta boycott your posse nas. So definitely give a look at, revisit some of our reviews. Like Jenna said, our February reviews, we did one on Rosewood, which is definitely something to watch. And on a side note, as far as documentaries, I would suggest checking out this documentary called I Am Not Your Negro.
I believe it's on Netflix right now.
Yeah, so definitely see that. It's narrated by Samuel Jackson. Very profound, very profound documentary. So there you have it, guys. But if you want something light, definitely there's Mortal Kombat as a buffer.
This is one of the movies I'm not sure if you want to watch with your kid, even though it's PG-13, because they're gonna look at you like you're crazy unless you've made them play the video game.
Yes. Well, I mean, do you think just by default, if kids see people punching and kicking and throwing people around, like, it's like instinctively is like, oh, cool. And then like when it's over, the kid's going to start like air kicking and punching and, you know, knocking over vases and stuff like that. So I think they get kicked out of it. Yeah. It's like, hey, Dad. So yeah, guys. So until next week, we wish everyone safe everything, especially safe physical distancing, and
wash your hands. Forgot about that.
Yes, I'll always go back to the hand washing, guys. Peace.